Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, now let us now your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel. If you grew up in the Lutheran Church, that used to be sung after communion. We would have communion, and then the pastor would give the communion blessing, you know, may this body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And then we would sing this dismissal. In Latin, it's called the Nunc Dimittis. Now you are dismissed. Lord, let us now thy servant depart in peace, according to your word. Isn't it beautiful? You know, there's so many things we had in the liturgy. This is one of the Lutheran additions to the liturgy that I think, you know, why do they take these things out? Now, surprisingly enough, in the new hymnals, they put it back in. But I think it's one of those things that is very beautiful. It was in our liturgy for 450 years. It's like Ford, somebody had a better idea. All right, let's take it out. Well, what does this mean? We know that according to the law, Jesus had to be presented at the temple and given into service to God. Isn't that a little funny to you? Because isn't Jesus God? So why would he have to be presented at the temple? Well, usually the firstborn sons of a family belong to God in this period. Those of you who grew up Roman Catholic, it's the same thing. Your first son was usually supposed to be a priest, right? It's going back to that, the service to God. Jean, was that a comment or a gas paint? No, that's right. So Jesus was fulfilling his role as a firstborn son to belong to God. But yet God, he is. So can he belong to God? Yes. What we are seeing, I think, is the dual nature of our Lord. Okay, the divine and the human. Okay, the dual nature of Christ. But what we're seeing it, it's actually played out in the Bible right here, isn't it? Okay? You know, it's one of those things for me to stand up and preach about it. But here we see Jesus, who is God, being presented at the temple in fulfillment of being given to God. All right, well, he's God, divine. He's human. He's given to God. Does it make sense to you? Okay. Dean, I'm going to get even with you for that one.
It's going to take you a long time.
I know, isn't it awful? It's one of those. Get the pun jar.
I had a couple of good ones.
That's right. A couple weeks ago, we just celebrated Jesus' baptism, didn't we? All right. And remember, if Jesus is God, why did he have to be baptized?
Because he was man.
And you remember what happened there? The heavens opened, okay? The internal light of God, his divine thing showed up, but yet God sent the Holy Spirit down on him, even though he's part Holy Spirit, because he had to be a man as well as divine. So that means that Jesus had to experience the goods and the bads, the ups and downs, life and death in his human nature. In other words, he had to be one of us, didn't he? But the thing is, how do we see the difference? Well, I was thinking, how do I explain this today? You know, one of the things that we're going to start studying first, Timothy, which is rules for pastors. But 2 Timothy says the most important thing a pastor can be is a didaskalos in Greek, which means a teacher. I do a lot of teaching, don't I? But I think it's okay because that's how you get closer. You start to understand why things mean what they mean. All right, so what I was thinking of this, Jesus is God. Is God. That's his divine part, right? But Jesus is also of God, the human part. Does that make any sense? Okay, because Jesus is God. We know he's God. But yet, when we are baptized, we become part of God's family, right? We become of God. So Jesus in divine is God. Jesus is human, is of God. And there's the two natures. But yet they are, huh?
Is it his son?
Well, sure, it's his son. But yet Jesus had to fully experience life as a man. Okay, I see that confused look. I'm just going to, yeah. Well, because it's one of those things that's difficult because it doesn't make sense to us. But it's one of those God things. But Jesus is like us. He joins God's family. Because remember, the Bible talks of us that we are adopted into God's family. That's that adoption doctrine that, you know, some of the people said that Jesus was adopted too. No, Jesus is God's son, says it in the Bible. But the thing is that we are brought into the family. So Jesus had to be brought into the family too. And that happened during his baptism. So Jesus is God. And when he's brought in the family, Jesus is of God. Hope that helps. No. Okay, well, I'm going to get into a little bit more. As we discussed in Wednesday's Bible study, by the way, we have one of the best Bible studies here I've ever attended. And if you want to have something interesting on Wednesday mornings at 10, join us. We just started talking about what the purpose of law and gospel was. Okay? Law is to remind us we're still sinners who are in need of forgiveness. Which is what brings us to the amazing grace. I couldn't resist that because you guys are going to do that. But it's the amazing grace of God in our lives, where we're part of his family and he takes care of us. One of the things, yes?
You want us to do it now?
No.
No.
I said you do this. I figured that part out.
Okay. Law and gospel. You know, it's the very basis of what we do as Christians. Are you saved by the law?
No.
No. Why not? Aren't there religions out there, denominations of Christian churches that say you're saved by what you do? It is not by works you are saved, but by the grace through faith. Ephesians 5, verses 1. So how do you come up with that? You know what I mean? It's one of those things that we are not saved by the law. So what is the purpose of the law? Okay, boys and girls who went through catechism, what are the three parts purposes of law? It's first of all a curb to trip over. And we trip over it because it says, hey, you screwed up. Secondly, it's a mirror. We look in it, we see ourselves, what do we see? A sinner. And then Gene's exactly right. It's a guide. But why is it a guide? It's the Holy Spirit leading us in the sanctified lifestyle. And what does sanctified mean? To be made holy. All right, so when we talk about law and gospel, it's important. One of the things that I took as a Lutheran pastor is to be able to preach the distinction between law and gospel. And I went to seminary in the Missouri Synod. And when I was ordained, I used the Missouri Synod ordination points because they're a lot more involved than what it is in the ELCA. Here's this article that I had to say aye to. Will you faithfully instruct both young and old in the chief articles of Christian doctrine? Which is what we're doing today. Will you forgive the sins of those who repent? And will you promise never to divulge the sins confessed to you? Will you minister faithfully to the sick and dying? And will you demonstrate to the church a constant and ready ministry centered in the gospel, preaching the proper distinction between law, the law of God and the gospel of God? Will you admonish and encourage the people to a lively confidence in Christ and in holy living? And then it says, so answer, I will with the help of God. Is it? You know, when you take a look at that, that's a pretty heavy statement, isn't it? So, do we value the difference between law and gospel? Yes. But now, according to the law of God, Jesus had to go to the temple and be presented. Because he's a man, right? The human nature has to go. He's firstborn son. Law says that. So then he becomes of God. But yet he is the Son of God. That's that dual nature. And it's hard for us to wrap our heads around it. I think that's what you're running into right now. But it's both the same thing. One of the things that I love this in the Book of Concord, which is the explanation of theology, one of the things that Johann Gerhard, who wrote that, said was this. If we take two boards, put glue on them, one's the human nature, the other one's the divine nature. Is that the way it works? Wasn't it one board? Still two separate boards, isn't it? But yet we know that Jesus is both. But yet, he has to be a man. And why? Because he has to fulfill the first covenant with the people of Israel. Because remember, you're only saved from your sins by a sacrifice. Unblemished. What sacrifice is good enough that it's going to complete the first covenant? Jesus. Because remember, when I stand up here at communion, I say, this cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. That's the new covenant. And that comes from his human side. It had to be paid. But yet, was Jesus a sinner? No. Are we sinners? Yes. So when we look at the law, was Jesus in the law or of the law? Oh, it's that same argument, isn't it? Okay, but yet, does he follow the law? Yes. Is that a pretty good example for us to follow? I think so, too. You know, last week I really stressed grace of God, didn't I? Okay. Anybody remember what grace means? Boy, you got tested today. Huh?
Yeah.
Blessing and its favor. That's why, yeah, it's a gift. But it's the favor of God, okay? It's a blessing of God given to us. In John's gospel, he tells us that Jesus is the light no darkness can overcome. Or as Simeon tells us, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Now, who are the Gentiles? Us, non-Jews. A light to lighten the Gentiles. He did that for us. Jesus went to that cross as a human being to lighten us. He's our guiding light. Look at the tapestry up there. In his light. That's why light is so important. You know, I've talked about this in Bible study, but in the Psalms, we talk a lot about light. Why? Because it's the face of God. That's where the light comes from. Whenever we're in the face of God, we're in the light. Remember in Revelation, it tells us that the light in heaven comes from the throne of God. It's God who's the light. If God is light, then Jesus is light. Okay? You know, pastors talk between each other, and I talked to them, Pastor Wade Turner, of all places, Frankenmuth, Michigan. Okay, I thought you guys get a kick out of it. Yeah, he's at the Wisconsin church. But anyway, Wade and I went through seminary together, and we were talking. I said, how are you going to approach this? Well, he said, we're all desperately in need of the gospel. But he said, what he was going to preach on was the fact that in today's church, look around here, how many kids do you see? See what I'm getting at? You know, when we were raising our kids, what did you do on Sunday? You went to church. The next generation said, well, let's go out and do sports teams. Okay? Or cheerleading practice. Or whatever. Everything else was more important to church. So what did you train your kids? Same thing, that all this other stuff is more important than going to church. When I was in Texas, Eli Gonzalez was the first vice president of the Texas District of Missouri Synod, because I went to their Winkles. He went to a national meeting, and they told him in 10 to 15 years that there will be no full-time pastors, because we won't have enough numbers in the churches. How is that going to change our world? It's going to change it big time. You know, we're making it in here with our 35 to 40 people, right? What do you do when you get down to 15 to 20 all the time? Then you're going to meet in a house, it'll be a worker priest. And I find that very sad, do you? And you know, the thing is, how do I tie this into this? Jesus went to that cross with no expectations. And for 2,000 years, people have served Jesus. And it comes down to this. You know, in our Old Testament lesson and in our psalm today, it was about the service to God. You gave Jesus to the temple in service to God. We serve God. And we do a good job here. This is a good church. But what's going to happen in 10 years? I mean, how many of us are 80 years old in here and will be 90? In 10 years. We're 100 in 10 years. Yeah, and you know, we're not the only church that has that. You know, and so that's something we are all going to be working on here in the future. Folks, we've got to be a beacon of that light to the Gentiles. And I think that's what Jesus is telling us in this today, is that without that, are we doing what we're supposed to? Now that's law, isn't it? But yet, as we serve, law is what we do. Gospel is what we receive. So if you receive that gospel of salvation, we need to share it with those in need of it, which is everybody. May we be a beacon of light to those in need of this message of salvation. Our own light to the Gentiles. May this constant light of salvation keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.